Alright, the fuck is going on here? Gotta get the show on the road. I have no fucking audio. Hang on. There it is. Okay. A good morning, children. It is morning. Great one overslept. Now he's got to record a podcast. He's got to go work for Weyland-Yutani. Then I got to get up early tomorrow morning, work for Umbrella Corporation, and then I got to go work for Weyland-Yutani again. Yeah, I'm here, I think. Hold on. Yeah. The throat is not warmed up. It's going to be a difficult, difficult podcast. But I am drinking coffee from my Alice in Wonderland coffee mug. So that makes things a little bit better. Haven't coughed all morning long until I start trying to record, and then all of a sudden I'm coughing all over the place. Probably because I'm trying to talk for the first time. This is what it sounds like when I first wake up in the morning. It's like if you're a hot broad, and we bang, and then you spend the night, this is what you would hear in the morning. You would hear me bitching about stuff. It doesn't matter what, right? You're just bitching. It doesn't matter what you're bitching about. Okay. We're going to get right into this, because unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, I'm pretty sure there's going to be an episode 3, just because I think there's too much. So, you heard episode 1, and I just was paging through the book. There was no preparation. Well, I thought that was going to be it, but then I made the mistake of picking the book up again and looking through the book, and I found more. And it's like, I don't want to talk about this. I really don't. I really don't want to talk about this, but I have to talk about this because millennials, because when you look at these people and you wonder, how are these people so fucked up? How are they so dysfunctional? And what drives them to do the things they do and think the things they think and behave the way they behave, right? You look and you go, where do you get this worldview? Where do you get this understanding of the world around you that you're using to inform the way you move through the world? And it's baffling. I am, of course, talking about the book, The Millennial's Guide to Changing the World, A New Generation's Handbook to Being Yourself and Living with Purpose by Allison Lee Scher, who has hit the wall. All right. Talking about school. Here we go. We just got to get started. Otherwise, there's going to be 4 parts, and the Great One ain't got time for that because I have so fucking much to talk about. I'm just really pissed also that we are working so fucking much. I've told you guys before one of the reasons, there's multiple reasons, I do the job I do in the event/theater business, other than I do enjoy it, is that it's not a 40-hour a week, every single week job, right? I get this downtime. I get a week or 2 weeks or occasionally even like 3 weeks where I don't have to do a fucking thing. And holy fucking shit, man, since October of last year, it has just been fucking insane. I have been working and working and working and working. And okay, I'm making, making money, but god damn it, I want some fucking time off. Right? If I wanted a goddamn full-time job, I'd go get a goddamn full-time job. Oh, fuck. Anyway, I got a lot of shit to talk about on this podcast, and this is just sucking up more of my life. Here we go. Most kids are going to want to go to college. Not because they believe a degree can earn them more money, but likely because it's what all their friends are doing. Okay, first of all, if you're going to college because that's what your friends are doing, you're not a very independent thinker. And I thought the millennials were supposed to be the smartest generation ever. I thought they were going to break the mold and change the world. Secondly, you're not going to go to college because you believe the degree can earn you more money? Well, then what the fuck is the point? A college education is supposed to be, should be viewed as an investment of time and money in gaining a knowledge set that would then in the future allow you to make enough money to pay back your investment in the college education and then live comfortably, however you define comfortably. So if this is in fact why kids are going to college, not because they think they're going to get money, but because it's what their friends are doing, they are completely fucking ass backwards. Completely ass backwards. And hang on a sec. Hang on. I got to go do something. I'm going to pause this. All right, I'm back. I had to go turn the heater down. So it's 14 degrees outside right now. That's Fahrenheit, not Adam Pickett centigrade. And when I go to bed at night, I turn the heat down because I like it cold at night because, you know, I'm under the covers and it's all nice and warm. I like sleeping in not a freezing cold, but I like sleeping in a cold room. Like I crank the thermostat down to about 55 or 50. I also like it if there's a chick over because then she gets cold because, of course, women get cold anytime it goes below 75. And then they're cold and then you can cuddle with them and keep them warm. Anyhow, got up this morning, cranked up the heat to warm the place up, and then I remembered I had not turned it back down. Because if I don't turn it back down, it's going to get really fucking hot up here in the recording studio, such as it is. All right, here we go. Nearly 90% of millennials who graduate from high school will go on to college within 8 years of graduating. In a way, college is a rite of passage. Which I think it has become that, and that's also not the purpose. And the fact that, right, in some civilizations, your rite of passage is, well, if you're a man, your rite of passage is you go out and you kill a lion. Or you go out and you spend a week in the wilderness by yourself and you survive. Of course, we know that for women, their rite of passage is they just start menstruating. We've talked about this extensively before. I've talked about it. Other people have talked about it. Again, this is the difference between men and women. Right? Men, boys, to become men, have to accomplish something. You have to survive in the wilderness for a week, or you have to, you know, kill an antelope or whatever. You have to actively do something to transition. That's the word. I knew there is a vowel in there. For a boy to transition to a man, you have to actively accomplish something. You have to be an agent, right? For a girl to transition to being a woman, it's just this passive thing that happens completely regardless of anything you do. You're standing there one day, some blood runs out from between your legs, and the other women go, "Oh, look, you're one of us now." It's like in Star Wars, Luke Skywalker, to transition from farm boy to Jedi, had to travel to Dagobah, had to learn from Master Yoda, had to learn to shut the fuck up and listen to what he's told by Master Yoda, who is very intelligent. As still some of the Yoda in that movie, some of the best quotes ever. Just I don't know who wrote that script, but brilliant. You know, Luke Skywalker had to suffer. Then, of course, you have what's-her-face, Mary Jane Skywalker, right? She's a nobody, and how's she become a Jedi? Oh, it just happens. It just manifests. Completely passive. Luke Skywalker's transition from farm boy to Jedi required agency, suffering, confronting his fears when he goes into the tree, right? All this, Mary Sue Skywalker, she's like, oh, she just started bleeding between the legs, and suddenly she's a Jedi. I would argue, not the great one, the author of this book, who bled between the legs and thought she was a real woman. Allison Scheer says, writes, I would argue that the most important thing a millennial can acquire during their emerging adulthood is an education. You must learn a trade to start participating productively in society, and going to school is a way to do it. Okay, the idea of a millennial participating productively in society. No, if more of you were participating productively in society, you wouldn't be a bunch of goddamn failures. Also, when she uses the word education, if by education she means going to college, and then she starts in the next sentence, she says, you must also learn a trade. Okay, well, once again, most of the millennials going to college are not learning a trade. Right? Like the guy from this book that we talked about in episode one, he got his degree in psychology. Was it psychology? Whatever it was, you listen to the podcast, and then what's he doing? He's changing diapers. Okay, that's not learning a trade. A trade is carpentry, plumbing, electrician, electronic technician, upholstery. Guys, let me tell you something. I know somebody in the upholstery business. A lot of money there. Yeah, those are trades. However, there are alternative options to go about it that might make the juice worth more than the squeeze. That might make... Stop trying to write flowery shit. Can you fucking people just convey information? However, there are alternative options to go about it that might make the juice more worth the squeeze. I don't even know what that means, but it sounds like sexual harassment. Okay. There are jobs you can perform with a high school education alone, such as changing diapers, that can end up earning you up to $35 an hour. Well, that would not be changing diapers. What's important is how well you learn on the job. Well, yeah, it is, but here's the problem with you millennials. I've seen this, and I almost tangented, not going to tangent, is you can't learn on the job when you go to the job on day one and you think you know everything. That's a big problem that you youngins have. You show up and you think you know it all. Now, we're going to keep reading here, and remember, this is coming from a millennial female, because shockingly enough, part of the reason I'm reading this section to you is that a significant amount of this actually makes a whole lot of sense. Some of this even sounds like something you might hear over at assholeconsulting.com. And then you have to wonder, if this woman knows all these things, why is she hitting the wall and unknown and doesn't even have a Wikipedia page? Okay, here we go. What's important is how well you learn on the job. Take notes. Make your boss's life easier instead of harder. Do the heavy lifting that no one else wants to do. Remember your mistakes so you don't repeat them and cost your company money. Wow! That's all actually really good advice. The problem is, millennials, and now that I'm seeing Generation Z enter the workforce over at Weyland-Yutani and Umbrella Corporation, none of them can do these things. They walk in the door and they fucking know everything, and they're like, well, how come I'm not in charge yet? How come I don't have my own desk? I want a desk. You've worked here for 2 months. Well, I should have a desk. Oh, fuck you. It took me 4 years to get a desk. You've been here 2 months and you want a desk. Talking about yoga pants, girl. Really, you want a desk, do you? They have no idea on this shit. Okay. I learned most of what I know today by fumbling around at my jobs and creating a long list of no-nos. It's said that behind every successful person is a lot of mistakes. Plus, you don't get... Plus, you don't need to get shot to know it will hurt. Your bosses and coworkers have already laid down the groundwork. Learning from people who have made mistakes before you is a good strategy and something we rarely learn at traditional schools. Right, because at traditional schools, you're being told that the old people are stupid, right? The old people, they're all racist, they're sexist, they're homophobic, they're not as enlightened as you are, you're smarter than them because you have Google, you're the smartest generation ever. You know, I mean, getting, once again, I don't want to tangent too much. I need to save it for the Yoga Pants Girl episode. But like sometimes trying to get her to fucking understand something is like beating my head against a wall because she's 19 fucking years old and she knows everything. It's like, you need to calm the fuck down and listen. It's like, well, you're old. Fuck you. You're a stupid cunt. You can also start your own business and be incredibly successful without a college degree. You can, but starting your own business requires work. Remember, we're talking to millennials. You're talking to an audience that isn't interested in work. They are interested in their own entitlement. It's not just Steve Jobs, Richard Branson, Larry Ellison, and David Geffen who are success CEOs never completed their degree. Yeah, exactly, sweetie. Your college education is not that important. You can be a self-made, self-taught person in the U.S. without investing in higher education. You just have to convince others to invest in your idea, and you have to invest in yourself. But once again, all of that is work, and all of that is not doing what everyone else is doing. And the millennials, despite thinking that they are going to save the world and they're unique and they're thinking outside the box, the millennials are one of the most herd-driven groups of people ever. Because once again, they're all on social media and they're all seeking validation from everybody else on social media. And so they all do the same fucking thing. Once again, I'll get this from Yoga Pants Girl. I'm not going to tell stories, I'm saving, but I'll be doing something and, you know, that's such and such. I'm like, no, that's just different from what you and everyone you know is doing. You know, and they're just so fucking conformist. They're so conformist. I mean, there's nothing else I need to add to that. Right, getting that approval of their peer group is the most important thing to them. And that means doing what everyone else is doing. School is expensive. Some millennials believe they actually wasted time in college. Really? Some millennials believe they actually wasted time in college when they could have been building a professional foundation to start making money doing what they love. Instead of directing their resources to starting a business with the $100,000 they spent on school, they graduated with so much debt that they have to work for someone else. Gosh, I could almost hear Aaron Clary telling you, hey, what if you took the $100,000 you're going to spend on college and invested it in starting your own business instead? Wow. I mean, just this... You know, and once again, it's like, okay, did she sit down and watch Aaron Clary's videos and just transcribe this? Guys, you could buy this book. If you're a millennial and you're struggling, you could buy this book or, yeah, I'm doing more free advertising. You could just go to assholeconsulting.com. Because Aaron Clary isn't going to give you the bullshit. We haven't got to the bullshit. Wait, just wait. Anyway, here we go. All right, stop giving Aaron free advertising. All he does is sleep on your couch and drink your coffee. Ah, just kidding, Clary. Actually, I'm kind of pissed off at Clary right now because I'm looking at his fucking feed there and he's out hiking and shit and I'm looking at all these pictures. I'm like, you fucking bastard. How dare you? How dare you fucking be successful? How dare you not go to college and get a worthless degree, you fucking cocksucker. I have to work. You fucking piece of shit. All right, anyway. He has been hiking some awesome shit lately, though. Man, some great pictures. Why leave school with debt when you can spend those years earning actual money and building a resume? Okay, I have tried to explain this before as well. Once again, back to the upholstery thing, right? The guy I know, he does upholstery, makes great money. And he's got this girl. I mean, it's been a couple of years now. I'm not sure exactly where they are now. But this girl started working for him right out of high school. She's learning how to do upholstery. She's learning a trade. There's not a lot of people who do upholstery, right? It's something she can charge a lot of money for. She's getting paid to learn an actual skill. That's the fucking way you do it. You know, same thing with, I'm going to tangent again, but it's kind of the same thing with yoga pants, girl. I've attempted a little bit, because I would have to care more, but I've attempted a little bit to explain that, you know, hey, you can go to college to get a degree to be an event planner, or considering you work for an event company, you could just start being an event planner right now. But she's so hooked up on, well, I have to go to college in order to get a job. Right? And she doesn't seem to understand she has a job doing where she could do what she wants to do. And this is what baffles me about these kids who are so fucking intelligent because they're smarter than anyone before them because they have Google, right? It's like with her car, right? She spends money on the car. She makes the car louder, but now she can't drive the car to go to work, to make money, to buy more stuff for the car. It's like this self-defeating cycle. So like, well, I want to be an event planner, so I got to go to school. But it's like, but you work for a company where you could be an event planner right now. And they can't make this connection in their tiny little brains. And it's hard for the gray one to have sympathy for you. Because once again, I've explained this. If a person is standing on the railroad tracks, which by the way, they were about a couple of weeks ago, a pedestrian actually got hit by a train here in Fort Collins. I don't know how. See, and there you go. How do you get hit by a train? You're a pedestrian. So you have to be standing on the railroad track. How do you not see a train coming towards you? It's big, it's large, it's got the headlight on the front, it's blowing the whistle, right? And this is how the great one operates. I'm standing and say, hey man, there's a train coming. And you say, I don't see anything. I'm not going to try to convince you. I'm walking away. I will let the train run you the fuck down. Because my life is finite and I am not your goddamn babysitter. Anyway, now I'm just ranting. Let's get back to the book. If you are going to school, one way to save money on tuition is to start at a community college where tuition is far less. Professors at community colleges are often high-performing industry leaders who decide to teach a class or two on the side to give back to the community. They are the kinds of teachers who do, and nothing is more valuable than that. I mean, all of that I would agree with. After you've gone to a community college for a few years and maintained a certain GPA, you can easily transfer to a college or university with a better reputation. Sometimes, my friend Rachel fell into that. She went to the community college and CSU said, oh yeah, we'll transfer all the credits. And then she went to actually transfer and CSU was like, oh yeah, we're not taking a bunch of these credits. Oh my God, she was so pissed, and rightly so. Absolutely, rightly so. Because we know how the universities work, they need you to take that remedial English class so that the fucking 23-year-old bimbo teaching the remedial English class can have something to do. So in principle, I agree with that, but make sure your shit will actually transfer. And even when the university tells you your community college credits will transfer, don't believe them. I don't know, do you get it in writing? Will that even hold water? I don't know, I'm just saying. I've seen people get fucked on this one. It can even be one that you wouldn't have gotten into right after high school. Your diploma will bear the name of the school when you graduate, and it will save you massive amounts of money. The average yearly price of community college is about $3,500. If you already know what you want to do, you can go straight to vocational school to learn a very specific trade. You don't have to waste your time with prerequisites and other unnecessary courses that teach you theory but not an actual marketable skill. And you'll leave school with a service you can offer society. Once again, pretty good advice. What she doesn't mention, at least not in this section, is she doesn't mention what I talked about with the girl in the upholstery job. She doesn't mention apprenticing, which is the best way. Just skip all of it. Go straight to working / getting paid / learning. Get paid money to learn something, with which you can then take forth with you into the world and charge people money and make a living and create value for other humans instead of being a parasite. All right, if you're not sure what you want to do and you value gathering knowledge for knowledge's sake, this is a clue that now we're about to go downhill. She gave a little bit of good advice, but this can't continue. Then a liberal arts education at college can help you become, everybody say it with me, a well-rounded person, otherwise known as a fat feminist with purple hair. I'm well-rounded. Yes, yes you are. That's because you eat a lot of food and you don't do any exercise. This is all well and good. However, college is much more effective if you know what you'd like to devote your life to, so you can spend your time and money delving into that, especially if you have limited resources. Because, of course, there are these people who have no limited resources. The add-on of, especially if you have limited resources. Sweetheart, did you know that everybody has limited resources? Everybody has limited time? Limited money, limited attention span. If you're a woman, you have limited eggs. Especially if you have limited resources. Because there's these people who don't have limited resources. There are professions that require a certain type of college degree to perform, such as nursing and others where a college degree is necessary for you to go on to graduate school if you plan on being a doctor. Graduate school is another beast entirely. That's when it's really important to make sure that you're studying what you truly want to do, which is also why you need to not just fucking run off to school right after you get out of high school. Unless you are really sure you want to do something. Many millennials go to law school thinking it's a path to good income before they realize they will forever hate their lives if they become a lawyer. Yep. We're not quite finished. Right now, people in the U.S. have more student loans than credit card debt. That's why, if you don't know what you're getting into, college can be a traumatizing experience. But it's good to know that you have options and can take your time figuring it out. It's one reason the gap year movement is so trendy now, where high school graduates are taking time off from school to travel, work, or engage in other activities before choosing what they want to study and where. And yeah, not going to college directly after high school is a good idea, but it's trendy. See, once again, the focus is on what is everybody else doing. Well, it's trendy. It's a trend. Oh my God, did you know that all my friends are taking a gap year? And so, oh my God, I'm gonna take a gap year too because, oh my God, it's so trendy. Like I posted on Instagram, I put up like a inspirational saying and I said like, oh my God, like I'm like, oh my God, like I'm a millennial and oh my God, I'm gonna change the world. And oh my God, before I go off to change the world, cause oh my God, I'm really not sure what I'm gonna do. So like, oh my God, I'm gonna gap year. I'm gonna take a gap year and like, oh my God, I'm gonna travel. Like, oh my God. And did you know so many people, like there are like 70 people liked it on Instagram. Like, oh my God. Okay. Overall though, see, and this is the thing. a lot of that makes sense. There's a whole lot of stuff I just read to you that I agree with. It kind of makes sense. All right, well, you think anybody's going to listen? No. No, of course not. All right, here we go. Kara Gilligan, 33, calls her college experience a horror show. Today, she's a divine feminine life coach and thought leader. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb. And hold on. I wonder if there's any chance I can find this chick on the internet. Give me a second. Let's do this. What are the odds? I think they're pretty slim. Man, you hear that keyboard? Ah, God, I love this keyboard. This keyboard is the fucking greatest. It's a Black Web keyboard. Bought it at Walmart. Apparently, I think Black Web is like a Walmart brand or something. Oh, I love this keyboard. Kara Gilligan. Life coach. Let me try that. Oh, I might have found her. Hang on. Oh, God. Oh, God. Here we go. Here we go down the fucking hole of the internet. Brace yourself, girls. Brace yourself. No. Oh. Okay. No. Okay, first of all, oh God. All right. So first of all, remember how I talked about show me a woman who's done anything consistently for 14 years. Okay, the last time her website was updated here on her blog was November the 11th in 2017. So she's really up on it. Okay. Oh my God. Now, she is a redhead, and I'm looking for better pictures of her. She looks like she has the potential to be attractive, but she's not. Here we go. Oh, there's Photoshop. And now she's a blonde in this picture. Okay, so she dyes her hair. Okay. Whoa. Wow. Oh my God. I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to start. Kara is a Magdalene priestess of the Rose Line of Holy Sophia, guardian of the sex, magic of Isis, lover of the Lord, and eternal devotee to the great goddess who sustains all life. T. 10 signs you are a reincarnated sacred sexual priestess and what to do about it. Here's the top 10 signs you are a reincarnated sacred slut. Oh, hold on. I gotta go. If you are unfamiliar with the archetype of the sacred prostitute, I highly recommend reading this article first to get acquainted with the lost feminine art of the sacred sexual priestess and how she holds the power to heal the world. After being viciously shamed, demonized, and cast out of the collective consciousness, alas, the sacred sexual priestess has been born again. And if you are wondering, and if you are a woman wondering if you once walked the goddess path, read on. It may be the key to healing your relationship with self, sexuality, men, money, and your personal power. Here's the top 10 signs that you are a reincarnated sacred slut. Number one, you are highly sexually charged and have been that way since childhood. Number two, you came in doing sacred sexual healing work. It may have been on your dolls, your siblings, your friends, or even yourself, but you found yourself enacting sacred sensual massage, kissing or touching as a child with an intense desire to heal or alleviate suffering. Okay, that's called sexual harassment. Like touching other people sexually? That's called sexual harassment. Oh, that's right, you're a woman. Okay, number three, you have positive magic around you when it comes to men. If men fall madly in love and have done so your whole life, if you are being courted, having love songs, gift, and the divine masculine falling at your doorstep, if all this happens without you seeking it, sweet, there are no men falling at your doorstep. Okay, number four, romantic love has been a direct catalyst to your spiritual awakening. I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Number five, you value freedom and never felt a strong attachment to marriage and children. Number six, secretly, you always want to marry God. Sorry, wanted. Secretly, you always wanted to marry God. Okay, number five is, you value freedom and you never felt a strong attachment to marriage. Number six is, secretly, you always wanted to marry God. And this is typical woman. A woman doesn't want to be married unless it's to a powerful alpha male. And how much more alpha do you get than God? That's pretty fucking alpha. My God. This is why I can't have an internet connection. All right, number seven, you are deeply devoted to the path of goddess and sacred feminine embodiment / empowerment. Number eight, you are sexually attracted to other women. Okay, all women are sexually attracted to other women because all women are bisexual. I've explained this over and over till I'm blue in the face. Number nine, you crave independence, wealth, and financial prosperity, which is why you're on food stamps and government support. You work for an NGO, which is funded by the taxpayers. A strong and independent. Number 10, you experienced sexual abuse, shaming, severe trauma, or ostracization in your life. So see, if you were sexually abused, you're actually a goddess. You're a reincarnated goddess. Here you go. This is a millennial. This is why we make fun of you. And this is beautiful. She is, I bet, I don't think she's making that much money because she hasn't done anything lately. How much does she charge for whatever it is she does? Oh, she does business coaching. Business coaching. I can't talk. Business coaching. Getting a new perspective on your power. Sacred wealth business coaching. As a sacred woman, making money is not typically your go-to drive when it comes to running your business. Hold on the sacred goddess thing, she just said that you're motivated to be strong and independent and wealthy. Okay, you're here to share a message, vision, or gift, one that requires integrity, compassion, and a commitment to serve. You notice how women can't shut up about their integrity? What has the great one told you over and over and over and over? That whatever people tell you about themselves is what's not true. Notice how women like this can't shut up about integrity? That's your key indicator that this woman has no integrity. Many women experience stress, sleeplessness, overworking, health problems. Yeah, it's from not eating right and not exercising. Relationship problems. I can't figure out why a woman who thinks she's a reincarnated goddess could possibly have relationship problems. Unhealthy dependencies. Hold on, I thought you were a goddess. Sacrifice of their personal lives. Burnout or lack of passion for what they do. Oh my God, you poor, poor thing. And it goes on and on how she's going to create sacred wealth. Oh, there's more pictures of... Yeah, she's not attractive. Okay, there's more pictures of her. She's not that... And man, she's got a lot of pictures of herself on the website. Oh, wait, is that her? Yeah, that's her. That is her. Yeah, she's not attractive. Oh my God. Sacred Wealth, the backstory. I was referred to him through a South African spiritual teacher who told me he was a, quote, master at dissolving evil realms, unquote. At the time, I was recovering from my experiences inside what I can only describe as a, quote, satanic cult of male power, unquote. I'd like to invite you to join me for a revolutionary call series where you will learn the true is in all capital letters, the true path to sacred independence and financial freedom, all capitalized, like a proper noun. Sacred, see, I know what a proper noun is, and I didn't have to go to fucking college for 4 years to get an English degree. Sacred independence. She's going to teach you. You are going to learn from this 33-year-old bimbo who thinks she's a reincarnated goddess. She is going to teach you the true, in all capital letters, path to sacred independence and financial freedom. And learn more about my journey with Brooks Y, the man, Brooks hyphen Y, the letter Y. Brooks Y, the man who initiated me. That sounds like a 50 Shades of Grey type thing. And I guarantee Brooks Y has fucked her. I guarantee you Brooks Y has shot cum on this woman's face. The man who initiated me into the capitalized economics of God. The economics of God. We will cover the foundational principles of economics of God. How imbalance of masculine and feminine energy maintains the current corruption of power we are experiencing in our world. Well, if by that you mean by imbalance of masculine and feminine energy, you mean the rise of feminism and the attack on masculinity, then I might agree with you. How the Arcturian civilization, which you've never heard of before. Wait, Arcturian civilization, aren't the Arcturians from another planet? Isn't that a science fiction reference? Is this like Dianetics? Is this L. Ron Hubbard? Oh my God, I am such a genius. Yes, the Arcturians. Edgar Cayce has said in his teachings that Arcturus is one of the most advanced civilizations in the galaxy. It is the fifth dimensional civilization that is a prototype of Earth's future. Its energy works as an emotional, mental, and spiritual healer for humanity. It is also an energy gateway through which humans pass during death and rebirth. There are women paying money for it. My God, once again, you're strong and you're independent. God damn it! How could you expect... women should have jobs. No, they shouldn't. Women should be allowed to vote. No, they shouldn't. It's a made-up civilization on another planet. She's going to charge you money to teach you how the Arcturian civilization successfully navigated the crisis of power over nature, which we are currently experiencing on our planet, to become the most advanced planetary consciousness in the universe. Oh my God! It's just, oh! Okay, let's go. There's more. There's more that you can learn in this revolutionary call series. Okay, number four. Why becoming God is the new paradigm for human development. Number five. How to get over all the black magic shit your mind tells you to block you stepping into your true power and freedom, capitalized, which is simply being who you are, capitalized. Number six, where this black magic shit comes from and what really, in all capital letters, goes on behind the scenes of our current money-power system. Number seven, how sacred sexuality and the ancient wisdom of the goddess is essential, in all capital letters, to our global healing, physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, and spiritually, all capitalized. Number eight, what has to be clear for us to bring forth our power, our hearts, our ancient wisdom once more through the financial system, and why bring it through, all capitalized, those systems essentially to the healing of our world. Whew. Okay, I gotta walk away. I could be here for days. I gotta walk away from that. You got to just enjoy the decline. There's no hope. There's no saving it. There's no fixing it. All right. Kara Gilligan, 33, calls her college experience a horror show. Today, she's a divine feminine life coach and thought leader, which basically means she posts a lot of long, smart, and vulnerable messages on Facebook to her audience of followers. In other words, she's an attention whore. She puts things on Facebook for people to like in order to validate her because she's very, very broken. This is an emotionally broken woman who was sexually abused as a child. Cheers to you, Kara. Her career path was directly inspired by her time studying English, right? Not aerospace engineering, not mathematics, not chemistry, not physics. No, no, right? Her time studying English at Dartmouth College. But not because of the academics. Kara witnessed firsthand the dark side of the Ivy League while dating a brother at Bones Gate, a cult-like fraternity, where she was made privy to violent and secretive hazing practices. Once again, I promise you, she has a copy of 50 Shades of Grey. I guarantee you, she was sexually abused as a child, and she's into weird, like, bondage shit, which I shouldn't say weird. I mean, it's fine. I don't have anything against spanking girls. Fraternities and sororities, or Greek life, because you have to explain that for the audience of this book because they're millennials and they're not very smart, are a big part of college culture. At some colleges, your social network is entirely reliant on them. Certain frats and sororities are associated with different class statuses. It's another way to categorize and rank people, keeping certain circles together and others outside. Oh my God, we can't exclude anybody, can we? Well, except for white men and heterosexuals, and of course, fathers. We can exclude fathers, because we don't need no fathers. Oh my God, was Kara raised by a single mother? I need to know that. I would be willing to bet, I'd bet $25 she was raised by a single mother. Kara refers to what she saw in Bones Gate as black magic. Ritualistic initiations embedding heartless belief systems into the psyches of young men. The mob mentality and brainwashing incorporated into the culture of Greek life became frightening. Kara says Bones Gate had a rage cage where she would watch her brothers fight each other with weapons. Okay, I'm calling shenanigans. I'm saying you're making this up. There is no way in hell little sissy-ass millennial boys, even in a college fraternity, got inside a cage and fought each other with weapons. That would require testosterone. And low intelligence. They got the low intelligence, but I don't buy the testosterone part.